we use a fairly broad definition of composite material. In our expertise at the lab, it's all of that. It's composite materials for boat building, it's reinforced steel concrete, it's composite, synthetic composite fibers with concrete, with wood, with steel. It's how do you uniquely combine those so that you have better performance. We have top in research funding and nationally recognized awards in the development of composite materials. Our own School of Marine Science and other folks in our at the university have been studying the Gulf of Maine for 30 years anyways. Most people know about the GOMU system. Our marine science folks have been looking at the Gulf of Maine in lobsters and circulation in biology and all that type of stuff for decades. And so one of the things that we've done is we've taken as much of that data that we can find, whether it's our own data, the state's data, data from other scientists, public and private sources, and built a very unique GIS database system, over 400 layers of data, and some of the maps you'll see we're generating with that. So we have a way of collecting data and analyzing the data and tracking the data, so we keep track of what's going on, so we know what we know today, we know what we don't know today, and we try to find ways to fill the gaps in that information. In last year, the governor and the legislature supported a bill for the offshore energy test site. And that's kind of unique in the country. That was LD 1465, which established several test sites up and down the coast of Maine to be able to test deep water offshore technology in a very restricted way. There's a very specific permitting process to go through and requirements for monitoring. The goal of that was to be able to start setting, putting Maine out in front of everybody else and being able to responsibly look at how to extract that energy for the benefit of energy efficiency, for the benefit of economic development, and for maintaining the environment. Maine also has some very unique industry infrastructure skills. If you look at some of the other states that have offshore wind resources, we have a combination of things that are very unique and potentially beneficial for developing the construction and manufacturing, installation, and maintenance of offshore wind. Companies like Bath Ironworks and Chimbro. Chimbro, one of the nation's leaders in building offshore structures, their old modular plant, which is up in Drawer, being able to build oil refineries in Maine and shipping them all the way to Texas, examples of that. BIW, of course, has their boat building infrastructure. Large ships be able to do marine installation. And we also have an indigenous composites industry, boat building. A lot of the boat builders, very high-end, very high-performance composites, such as Hodgson Yacht, companies like Kenway that do industrial composites for the pulp and paper industry. So we have a lot of unique pieces. We also have three deepwater ports, Portland, Searsport, and Eastport, so that the manufacturing can happen and installation can be launched from there, whether it's up and down the East Coast or in the Gulf of Maine. So what we're looking at is those unique attributes and trying to find ways to use those. So the colors on this aren't as great as the ones that are sitting on your sheet, but this basically is the wind resource map in the United States. And what you see is that the colors, if you look on your chart, you can see a little bit better. The reds and the darker blue, purple, are superb and outstanding wind resources. That means those are the highest winds measured by the National Renewable Energy Lab and are representative of the amount of energy you can extract from that area. And so part of the interesting thing here is that we have great winds in the Northeast. We have a population of 55 million people. We have some of the highest energy demands in the country. At the same time, if you look in comparison, T-Boom's Pickens plan, which you may have heard about on TV, was to build land-based wind in that central corridor of the United States where those pink winds are, which are not as robust, and they are farther away from the load center. So the concept there is we'll build all this wind power in the middle and then run transmission lines halfway across the United States to get to the load center. Or at the same time, if there is a good way to extract that energy from the Gulf of Maine, we're only talking about running a transmission line from the Gulf of Maine to shore, down into the Boston or Connecticut, New York region. So you're much closer to the load. Part of this, though, in order to really benefit the state and benefit the nation in looking at this offshore wind, is that we've also got to change the way that we use our energy. So right now, Maine, as many of you know, and certainly this neck of the woods itself know, that are very, very heavily dependent on foreign oil, oil for heat and transportation. Maine itself is about 80% dependent on oil. 80% of our energy comes from oil. That's oil from someplace else. That's money that's exported out of the state. In the year that when the oil prices shot up high, a couple of years before last, we spent about $7 to $8 billion on oil. That's dollars leaving the state, not staying there. But in order to take advantage of renewable energy and electricity, we need to change the way that we use energy for heat and transportation. So part of our whole concept here is not just to answer the offshore wind, but also to look at the mosaic of other alternative energy sources that are available, especially in the state. Land-based wind, tidal power, tidal energy, solar, and other existing biomass-type power sources, so that we can increase our overall renewable power to divert from oil, and at the same time start thinking about how to heat with electric resources and how to support our transportation with electric resources. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to see the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles taking off, and that's something that we need to look at over the next 30 years. But also looking at how we use things like heat pumps and other types of heating technologies, improving the weatherization of our housing stock so that we lower the demand, at the same time move away from some foreign oil sources. So part of this is the overall plan to look at how do we generate 5 gigawatts of power, up to 5 gigawatts of power from offshore wind, at the same time producing 3 gigawatts from alternative sources, land-based. Currently, and this is the challenge, currently the electric use in Maine is a little bit of over 2 gigawatts. On any given day, we have the generation capacity of 4, but that's not running all the time because the demand is so low. Not so low, but it is what it is. Because we're still using 80% of our energy coming from oil, if we can increase our use of electricity and at the same time increase the electricity from renewable resources, we should be in a better place. Now, there's a couple of components to that, which is can we provide that renewable energy at a reasonable cost that is long-term sustainable? Okay. It may not be cheaper than electricity today, but it's certainly going to be cheaper than oil when oil goes up to $130 plus a gallon. At the same time, we want to be able to use that resource for economic development, right? So if we can help produce that power here and create the jobs either through operating the power generation or building the equipment that generates the power, we'll increase our economic development opportunities. And if we're not burning oil, we're treating the environment better. If we're using renewable, we're treating the environment better. If we can extract that energy, whether it's any of the alternatives, and do it in an environmentally appropriate way, then we should have a better environmental picture. And that's the overall goal of everything. So when we talk about offshore wind technology development, we're in an evolution, and this is almost reverse of the evolution of man. You know, if you ever seen the scale evolution of man, the fish turns into the legs and walks up on shore. Well, we're going a little bit backwards. Land-based wind is fairly well-known technology, pluses and minuses no matter where you look. And so the current development across the, starting to look at the United States, but most of Europe is moving into shallow water offshore wind because the land sites are taken up. You're starting to get into shallow water. There's some advantages to going offshore. The winds tend to be stronger. You have less friction because of hills and buildings and whatnot. And more sustainable, less impact with land uses. The current technology is a bottom-mounted pile, as I said before, in fairly shallow water, almost up to 100 feet of depth. The transitional depth, there's development going on there where they use different types of jacketed structures and different types of foundation supports, rigidly mounted pile on the bottom, and there's expansion of that in Europe right now. The deeper floating, the deep water floating technology is technology currently under development, and that's something that we think has the advantage in the state of Maine in our deep water resources that are further from shore. And Bob Lindenberg is going to talk a little bit about the technology plan in a few minutes, but the opportunities, again, in deep water are a couple different things. One is that you're moving away from that coastal zone where you have the greatest use already, whether it's fishing, whether it's recreation, whether it's shipping commercial activity. You're trying to move outside of that. Two, you have stronger, more sustainable wind. The power output from a wind turbine increases exponentially with the wind speed. So the greater wind speed you have and the more duration of wind you have, the more power you get out. So the same capital invested in a wind turbine, you'll get more return on that investment. Part of what we're looking at is that the United States Department of Energy has a overall energy plan that says 20% of the nation's wind of overall energy by 2030 will come from wind. Okay, so the curve over what you're seeing is where we are currently in 2008 or so is the amount of energy produced in the United States from land-based, the bluer portion, and where we think the growth will go in deep water offshore. So across the country, this is from the United States, they're looking at about 300 gigawatt land-based wind energy by 2030, and then about 54 gigawatts coming from offshore in the country. So Maine's plan, our goal of getting to 5 gigawatts is really just 10% of the offshore wind resource as part of the Department of Energy's plan. So that's what we're trying to do is stay consistent with the U.S. Department of Energy's plan for growth and with a resource that is available to us. So if you look at all the wind energy resource in the Gulf of Maine, we're talking about 140 gigawatt capacity out there. We're only trying to tap into a small percentage of that.